Welcome to Wanna Be Clutter Free, the podcast for ambitious moms who are ready to ditch the mess and stress for good. Let's simplify, organize, and create a life you actually love waking up to. Are you ready? Let's do this. Picture this. You're in the middle of decluttering. You're moving through a room. You're in the zone, right? You feel great about the progress you're making. It's incredible. You've never felt like this when you've been decluttering. And then you pick up something and everything just stops. What was the something you just picked up? Well, maybe it was a box of baby clothes. Maybe it's a card from someone you've lost. Maybe it was your kid's first pair of shoes that are so tiny that you can't even believe that they were ever that small. And then all of a sudden, that sorting system that you just learned, that one that says stay, go, or not sure, that method that we talked about last week in that last episode, it doesn't work here. Because this isn't about whether something is useful. This has nothing to do with whether it fits or whether you need it. This is about what this thing means to you. And you cannot logic your way through that. I know this because I have been in this exact spot. I kept a box of my daughter's baby things for years, not because I needed them, and not because we were going to have another child, not because we were going to use them, but because I was terrified that letting them go meant letting go of that season of my life, meant letting go of those memories. Like if I got rid of that onesie, or I got rid of this super cute little black sweater with white polka dots on it, that I would forget about that time, about her being little. And I would just basically be tossing those memories. And I've also walked through this on the other side where I've helped my family after we lost my father-in-law. My mother-in-law had to figure out what to do with decades of his things. His passing was pretty sudden and he was pretty young in comparison to how long we all kind of thought he would live, right? You know, he had his collections, his clothes, things that meant something to him, right? And that is completely different. That's a completely different level of emotional weight. What do you do at that point? And so I'm not teaching this from a textbook. I am not teaching this from just what I've learned online or what I've read in my organization books or anything like that. I have lived this feeling. And so I totally understand if you are in it right now too. In this episode, I'm going to teach you a method that I call the joy anchor. It completely changed how I handle sentimental clutter in our own home. And it doesn't ask you to throw everything away. It doesn't tell you to just get over it. What it does is it gives you a way to keep what truly matters and release what's been weighing you down without the guilt, without the fear, without the regret. Sounds pretty good, right? It's a great episode. But for those of you that are new, my name is Deanna Yates. I'm your clutter-free cheerleader. I help you let go of the things that have been holding you down so you can make room for joy and for the things that really matter in your life. This is the Wanna Be Clutter-Free podcast, and that's what we do every week. We are already at episode 305, and if you want to get the show notes for this episode, head on over to wannabeclutterfree.com/305, and you can also follow me on Instagram. I'm at wannabeclutterfree. Okay, enough housekeeping. Let's get into it. Okay, so let's talk about why sentimental clutter is so much harder than every other kind of clutter. Because let's just be honest, it totally is, right? It is a totally different animal. And I think the reason it trips us up so much is because we've confused two things that feel the same, but are actually very different. We've confused the object, the thing, the item that we're holding with the memory that lives in our heart and in our heads, okay? So we are saying that these two things are the same. When I think logically, we know that is not true, but in the moment, it is so hard to differentiate those two things and to separate them. Because when you are holding on to a sentimental item, what you're holding on to is that feeling. It's the season, it's the person, it's the moment. But your brain has attached that feeling to the physical thing. It tells you that if this thing goes, that memory goes with it. If I donate this thing, I'm erasing that person or that chapter of my life. And I think logically we know that that is not true, right? We know that the person doesn't live in this thing. It's just a thing. We know that, but it doesn't make it any easier. And I get it. I totally do. I've gone through lots of those different phases and I understand this kind of guilt fairly deeply. But here's what I have started to realize. Memories don't need a storage unit. They don't need a shelf. They don't need a box in your garage. Memories live inside you rent-free. They always have. The objects are just props, and props can leave the stage without the story ending. Think about it this way. If I asked you to tell me about your child's first steps, you wouldn't need to be holding their baby shoes to tell me that story, would you? You'd light up. You'd tell me the whole thing, where you were, what her face looked like, who you called first. If your partner wasn't there, I'm sure you called them or recorded it and sent it to them, right? The shoes didn't give you that memory. You have that memory. The shoes are just sitting in a box. You're the one carrying the story. The shoes are just the trigger that tell you, yeah, okay, open that file cabinet, take out that memory, think about that memory, right? It's just that the catalyst to think about that memory, but that memory still lives in there. Even if you get, you know, sparked a different way, you'll still have that memory. The shoes are just the thing that reminded you to pull out that memory and think about it. I want to give you an example from one of my clients. She could not let go of a plastic Tupperware drawer, like one of those three drawer units that we've seen everywhere. Target carries them exclusively, practically. I mean, there's so many of them. Anyway, it's just one of those three drawer plastic storage things. It belonged to her grandmother, and she was struggling to declutter her house. She had a small home, and she was really struggling with this idea of sorting and letting go and figuring out what was useful and what meant something to her. And because it was her grandmother's, she had tied her grandmother's memory to it. And her grandmother, sadly, is no longer with us. And so it made everything heavier, right? I understand. Everything is heavier. But here was the key, the thing that really changed it. She had other items from her grandmother. That wasn't the only thing that her grandmother had left her. She had a quilt from that same grandmother. It was a beautiful handmade quilt that her grandmother had actually made with her own hands. And so I just gently asked her, which one do you think your grandma cared about more? Which one of these things did she actually put her heart into? Which do you think actually mattered to her? Because not everything we receive from someone is going to carry the same sentimental weight. And it was a light bulb moment for her. I know the rest of us can see this so clearly because we are not attached to the items, right? I think that's the other thing about sentimental items. They are sentimental to us and us only, where everyone else is like, okay, right? They don't mean anything to someone else. And it's just sometimes it's nice to get an outside perspective because it can help you see what you're not able to see. Because of course, the answer was the quilt, right? That was of course the one that was more special that her grandmother had cared about, that she had put effort into. That Tupperware storage bin was just something that happened to be in her grandmother's house. And she grabbed it because it was a useful item. It was something that she could use for now, for the time being. It worked in her life when she took it. But she had grown past it, right? She had moved on and had other items that could store things that were a little bit nicer, that were of higher quality, that were made to last, or maybe she didn't need as much storage anymore because she was going through this decluttering process. The point was that storage unit was just something that was utilitarian for her grandma as well. And her grandma probably would have been like, oh, honey, you don't need to care about that. Like, I can just channel like grandma energy of like, oh, sweetheart, I don't want you to worry about that. I don't want you to have guilt over letting go of that. And she, of course, doesn't want her to have guilt if something happened to the quilt either. But it's just that quilt is more like a hug from grandma. I know we have a t-shirt quilt from my late father-in-law, and it is. It's like a hug. It's like getting a hug from him when we need it, because it just has so much sentimental value to it. And so, of course, I'm never going to tell you to get rid of everything. I want you to keep the things that are truly special. And a Tupperware drawer is not super special. And I know that like you're listening to this going, duh, okay, that makes perfect sense. Why was she so wrapped up in that? But until you're in that moment and you've lost someone and then everything has this like heavy weight to it, then you'll understand. So we just sometimes need to have a little grace with ourselves and say, it's okay. You're right. That makes sense. When I sit here and I think about it logically and I think about the things that I have, of course, this quilt is way more special than this Tupperware drawer thing. And I can let go of that and I'll still have this other thing that means so much to me, right? So that was something that I know sounds really okay. Restart. So here's what I need you to hear though. I'm saying all of this with love in my heart, but I'm also saying it directly because I think you need to hear it. So listen to me when I say that holding on to everything is not the same as honoring someone. It's not. Keeping a garage full of boxes that you never open is not preserving a memory. It is just storing guilt. And that is not what the people who loved you would want for you. Okay. So that's the reframe. I want you to change it. I want you to know that the memory is not in the thing. The memory is in you. That thing is just the catalyst or the trigger or the thing that tells your brain, hey, remember that? I want you to go and unlock that memory, take it out of the filing cabinet and think about it. And once you fully, truly, really believe that, what I'm about to teach you next is going to make so much more sense. Okay, so just sit with that and let's understand that, okay, I'm going to just buy into this right now, even if you're not fully there, but I'm going to buy into the idea that my memories do not live in this physical thing and I have my memories inside me. We live in San Diego and we do not have air conditioning. So come summer, grilling outside isn't just preferred, it is absolutely required. I will not add one more degree of heat to this house if I can help it. And grilling nights work best when quality protein is already in the freezer, ready to go. The nights it's not, well, that's when dinner becomes a chaotic scramble. So I just ordered from Omaha Steaks, and I went straight for the Burger Perfection flight because my husband and daughter, well, they have declared themselves official beef burger connoisseurs, and we're doing a family taste test. 20 pure ground beef burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Each burger is ground from a single cut, not blended. It's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse price. Omaha Steaks has spent over 100 years perfecting this. Every cut of meat arrives vacuum sealed, flash frozen, and ready to go the moment you need it. No scrambling, no guessing. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. And inside my brain and my heart, and I can get those memories anytime I want. Okay? If we go on with that pretense, the next part's going to make so much more sense. All right. Let's get into it. Okay, so if the memory isn't in the thing, what do we actually do with all of these sentimental items? Because I am not going to tell you to throw everything away. That is not what this is about. And if any decluttering method is telling you to just toss it, then that method is failing you because it's not dealing with the underlying emotion of things. Yes, things are just things. But we as humans ascribe value to them. What I'm about to teach you is something I call the joy anchor method. And here is the idea behind it. When you have a collection of sentimental items, whether it's from one person, one season, one chapter of your life, you don't have to keep all of it. And you don't have to let go of all of it either. What I want you to do is I want you to choose one item from that collection that holds the fullest, richest version of that memory. That one item becomes your anchor. And I have an example for you. I talk about this example all the time because it sits right behind me on my podcast wall or on my backdrop here. And it is the onesie that we brought our daughter home from the hospital in. It carries the emotional weight for the entire collection of her baby clothes. So I was able to let go of her baby clothes because I kept one thing that reminded me of that entire season. It has a little handprint of hers. It has a little footprint of hers when she was born. And so there's so many emotions tied to that one item. Now, at this point in my life, I have been decluttering and organizing and letting go and, you know, really dealing with a lot of these emotions for myself. So when people ask, like, you know, yes, it's a wonderful piece for me and I love it. I absolutely love and cherish it. But if our home was lost to a fire or a natural disaster and I no longer had that piece, I would be sad, but I would be okay letting go of it. It no longer holds as much weight as it did. And I think time does that for us. So over time, even as we get more accustomed to this lifestyle and letting go of things and only keeping things that really mean the most to us, I now have so many pictures of that because it's the backdrop in my podcast. So I could go back and see it anytime I wanted and still have those same memories. And I think that's something we'll get into in a minute. But I just want you to know that, like, I really have done this in my life. This is absolutely one of those things that I practice. I don't just preach it. I practice it. And it really does help. Because if I would not have put that up on the wall, it would have been sitting in a box in my garage with a bunch of other baby clothes that I never would have looked at. And it's one of those things that I would have looked at probably every few years because we'd be going through the garage trying to find more space because we didn't have enough space because we're keeping things like boxes of baby clothes that we're never going to use again. And so it allows me to then have that moment more often. And I get to remember those things more often. And so it's really wonderful. All right. So let me walk you through how we do this. I have three steps. I'm going to keep it simple. Let's get into it. All right. I know I'm getting a little excited because to me, this is so special and it really does make such a big difference in your life. All right. So step number one, I want you to gather the collection, whatever it is. Maybe it's all the baby clothes. Maybe it's all of your grandma's things. Maybe it's all the cards from that season of your life. I want you to put them together so you can see the full scope of what you're working with. Now, I know this step might feel hard, but you need to see it all in one place. So please do not skip this step. Please. Once you see what's there, you will be able to call the collection. You will be able to say, like, you'll be able to curate it and say, like, okay, these are the really special things. And these things, like, okay, this is tier two, right? It is much easier once you see it all together. Okay. Step two, I want you to hold each piece. And I don't mean this in a, you know, sit on the floor and cry about each piece kind of a way. I mean, just actually hold it. Feel which ones carry the most weight. And it seems a little woo and it feels a little like, okay, come on, really? Do I really need to do this? And yes, please, I want you to do this. Which one gives you that feeling in your chest? Which one like gives you that, oh, gosh, this one holds the biggest version of the memory. If I could only keep one of these, which one would it be? Would it be this piece or would it be that piece? Is there something that I feel more drawn to? Something that makes me feel super connected to that person or that season? Just go with your gut. If you have a hard time whittling it down to one and you have a collection of 100, if you get that collection of 100 down to 5, that is a win, okay? So again, out with arbitrary rules, out with the very strict things we have to do. I want you to make progress. And as I said, this held a ton of emotional weight for me at one point, and I'm pointing to that baby item on my wall, and it doesn't have as much emotional weight to it anymore for me. I mean, it's still emotional. I still love it. I'm not going to toss it just because, but that will happen for you as well. So if right now you're starting with 100 and you whittle it down to 20, that's a win. Maybe the next time you look at them, you'll be able to get it down to 5. And after that, you'll be able to get it down to 1. There's no hard and fast rule here. We're just trying to help you let go of the heaviness and that guilt. And by letting go of some things, it's really going to help. Okay. All right. Step number three, I want you to choose your anchor. This is where I tell you to get down to one item, maybe two if the collection is really large. I know I'm going to challenge you to really try to get it down to that. But again, you have to make these work for you. And if being that harsh is going to make you rebel and make you hate me and never come back to this podcast and never try decluttering again and never get your home in order and never feel the joy that comes from living a clutter-free life, then you do you, boo. You choose restart. Then you do you and you choose how small of a collection you can make that. Okay? But my goal is for you to get it down to one item and that's your keeper. That's the one item that earns its place in your home. And then the rest you can release with gratitude. Okay? I know. I did say gratitude. I did say release it with gratitude, not guilt. I want you to release it with gratitude because the anchor is doing its job. It's going to carry the story. And I want you to test it. Test it out. See how it works. I want to go back to that example of late father-in-law's t-shirt quilt because it is super, super special. It's very near and dear to all of our hearts in this home. And it's something that I think really encapsulates this concept and this idea. So my father-in-law used to collect t-shirts. Anytime he would go to a new place, he would pick up a t-shirt. Vacations, college campuses, when he would come visit us, different places. And she divided them up into ones that would mean something to each of her sons, right? So she made some that pertained more to my husband's brother, and then she made some that pertained more to my husband and me too, because my husband and I have been together since we've been 20 years old. So we've known each other a very, very long time. And it was really amazing. She made one quilt per son. And that quilt holds so many memories that a dozen of those t-shirts held. But by having them made into one quilt, there is so much love and memory and thought into it. So it was this disparate or, you know, kind of varied collection. And they were kind of old t-shirts. Like they weren't things that we would wear or want or have around. And so by turning them into this t-shirt quilt, though, it becomes a cherished keepsake for us, a cherished memory. And that quilt is the joy anchor. It is one item carrying so many stories. And so we can wrap up in it. We can, like I said, it feels like a hug. When we're having a hard day, we can just grab the quilt and put it around our shoulders and feel his presence and just feel all of the different memories we had with him. We can look over it. We've like talked about it with our daughter as she's been growing up, because sadly she never got to meet him or he never got to meet her. And so it just has given us so many different ways to anchor back to my father-in-law. And so it's just a really special thing. And that is what a joy anchor can do. It can take the guilt of letting go of all of these things, of letting go of more collections, and really bring those memories together in that one piece. We have lots of things like that around our home. This carnival glass over here, that's from my grandfather's collection. It has a lot of memories attached to it. Most of the things in our home tell a story. And so that is kind of one of the things where now when I go around my home, there's so much joy and there's so much love because the things that are left are really special and they really mean something to those of us in our family versus things that are just, you know, there for the sake of being there. And so I want you to look at your stuff in a new light and say, can these things be a joy anchor? Can I find the anchors of joy in the pieces I have and put those prominently on display? Don't just pop them in a box and store them in your garage and keep out the random, you know, decorative things that you get from a TJ Maxx on your mantle. Put the things that really mean something to you. And if you're nervous about them, I have a little like sticky pad underneath that glass vase over there so that if the wall gets bumped, if the shell gets bumped, it's not going to fall off. So I put a little thing like that, just a little bonus tip for you so that I can make sure that the things that are special to me aren't going to get broken or fall off. And of course, if you have littler kids, you're going to have to be more careful. But I want you to put a reminder then for yourself as your kids get older to get out the things that really mean something to you, that are special, that you want to have around, and surround yourself with the love and the memories, and don't just box them up and keep them in your garage. All right. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, Deanna, not everything can be turned into a quilt, or not everything can be put in a memory box. And you're right. It doesn't have to be. Your anchor could be a favorite mug from an entire collection. It could be one baby outfit out of an entire bin. It could be a handwritten recipe card instead of the whole recipe box. It could be one frame photo instead of five shoeboxes of loose pictures. The point is not what the anchor is. The point is that you are concentrating the memory into something intentional, something that you will actually see and use and love instead of spreading it across a bunch of things that are sitting in a box that never get opened. Because I say this next part with love. Please know that. But if it is in a box in your garage and you haven't opened it in 3 years, you are not honoring that memory. You are storing it. And there is a big, big difference. You are just storing guilt, and it's going to be super hard for you to feel the love in those items. All right. So the next part I want to talk about, because I had three parts to this. So now that we know what we want our joy anchor to be, because not all of those items are going to be considered your joy anchor, but you're not going to feel right about totally getting rid of everything. And so I want to offer you a bridge. I want to offer you a way to keep the trigger or the catalyst without having to keep that physical item. Because I know it's really hard to let go of these things sometimes. And so for that, I have the photo bridge. And here's how it works. You take a picture of the item, and then it's not just the picture. There's one more part that I think a lot of people miss. And if these things are truly special, this isn't going to be that difficult. We're not doing everything in our home this way. But those special things that you're like, you have a little bit of a guilt moment about getting rid of them, then you're going to write one sentence or a short little paragraph about why it mattered. You just journal about it a little bit. It doesn't have to be much. It could just be a few words. That's it. That photo captures what the item looked like. The words are going to capture why it was special. And then together, those two things are going to hold the memory better than the object sitting in a box that you never open is going to. All right. So one of my favorite ways to do this is to collect those photos and stories over time. I don't think we need to say, this weekend, I'm going to take everything out of a box and I'm going to photograph it and then I'm going to jot down a memory about it. No, that's too much. We are all too busy for that. But we can collect them over time and then we can save them on our computer. We can start a photo book. I like to do this on either Shutterfly or Minted, but you can use whatever service you like. And so you kind of just start your project on there and that's where these things can live. And then when you have enough of them, you can create the photo book. You can say publish. Okay, now I finished that collection from grandma. I've gone through all of my grandma's things. I have my joy anchor of the thing I really love from her that I want to put on display. And every time I walk past it, I think, hi, grandma, love you. You know, I love that. Then the other things that didn't quite make it, I'm going to create this photo book for them. And once I've gone through all of grandma's stuff, I'm going to hit print on the book. And now it can sit on my bookshelf, which you can see a little bit of here in the background. And it's going to sit on my bookshelf. And now when I want to have those moments, I can look through that. You can set it on your coffee table. You can rotate through them. And so you know that there's one that you're like, okay, every quarter, I'm going to pick a different book to put on display. And then I can go through them as well and relive those memories. And it's a really fun way to do it. Or if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can just get one of those albums with a slot. If you'd like to print out photos, does anyone still do that? And you can put it in there with an index card with the story behind it. Either way works. But the point is that I want you to really hear, because this is what changed my perspective on it, is that God forbid anything ever happened to me, my family now has the stories. Right? They know what was special to me and why. They have the pictures of the things and the words behind it, and it just can make such a difference. Like, can you imagine having that from your grandparents? Can you imagine that that was possible back then? Like, think of what is possible for us now that we can create these things, curate these things, but we don't have to pass on the guilt of all of those items to our kids. Our kids aren't going to want them. Like, you don't want all the things from your parents, I'm sure. Wouldn't it be nice to have a book that told you the stories behind the items? And you get to know people in this way without having to feel guilty about taking care of all the stuff or dealing with all the stuff or throwing all their stuff away, right? Think about if your grandma wrote a book that said, this was my favorite mug because your grandpa gave it to me the morning after our first big fight and it meant everything to me. Like, how sweet would that be? That'd be pretty cool. You'd be like, okay, they were real people. And you get to see a little bit of the glimpse of their real life. What a gift that would be. That object couldn't tell you a story, right? If you got a mug from your grandma, you wouldn't know the meaning behind it or the story behind it, or maybe it wasn't meaningful at all to her, but now you're stuck with it because you think it was meaningful to her, right? All right. I love that idea. I think it lets go of a ton of the guilt for holding on to our things. I think it is fantastic to help the future generations, and it allows us to let go of our things with gratitude and let them out into the world to bless other people. We already have so much stuff on this planet. I would love to encourage us to buy secondhand, to give and donate with grace and gratitude so that our things can go bless other people and also in turn go see where we can find things that have been pre-loved so that we are not desecrating the planet with cheap crap that no one needs and we're all going to throw away anyway. All right. I know that was a little sidebar, but I want you to know that this also works for kids stuff too. Our daughter has always been sentimental. So she is attached to her things and I respect that about her. Like, she's very introspective and very sensitive and caring and empathetic. And I love all of those qualities, but it also means that she holds on to things maybe longer than someone who does not have that emotional bandwidth. And so some of the things that she has loved, we have just repurposed. So she had some t-shirts that she had outgrown, but she just couldn't part with them. They had such great memories for her. And so we turned a couple of those into pillows. That's a physical anchor. Same idea. Taking something that you have, turning it into something that you'll use, and you get to still love it and keep it. And by the way, t-shirts, you can take two t-shirts and make them one pillow because they have two sides. You can cut them up, you can quilt them, you can do lots of t-shirts and do kind of a quilted pillow idea. So same like the blanket, like the t-shirt blanket, but she's so little. We just made little pillows and she loves them. They're great. And then one more thing, I know a big sentimental thing that people ask me about all the time is artwork, school projects and kids' things like that pile up. We will photograph them. We will photograph the big ones, really special ones. I have one behind me actually. So right next to the baby item, actually, that was a painting that my daughter drew or painted. And I love it. It's just a way to honor some of her artwork and put it up on the wall and put it on display. And I love looking at it. And there are other pieces that we've just taken pictures of and created picture books with. So it really just depends on what you want to do with it. Some of the bigger pieces, I would recommend putting them on display. My big point, though, is when you take pictures of the kids' artwork, it is awesome if you can take a picture of them holding it, standing next to it with the artwork, because it's so easy to forget how old they were when they drew those pieces. So if you can do that, that's a great way for you to look back on those. Trust me, from experience, I didn't always do that. And it's hard for me when I look back to remember how old she was. So that's one thing I would highly recommend. Pro tip there, try to take a picture of your kid with the artwork or the thing that, like, school projects, for sure. Make sure they're in that school project picture, right? And then once you know you've taken a picture of it, that memory's not going anywhere. You've got the thing. You no longer have to keep the physical artwork. You can let that go and make a picture book. And then you can take 100 art projects or 100 school projects and put them in one small photo book. And everyone, trust me, your kids will love looking through that kind of stuff. All right. One last practical tip before we move on, because I don't want this to feel like a giant project. You do not have to do all of this at once. Here's what I would suggest. Keep a small basket or a box somewhere in your home. And when you come across something sentimental during a regular decluttering session, don't force the decision right then. Just put it in the basket. And then maybe once a month, once a quarter, sit down with your phone and a cup of coffee, and then just take your photo bridges in a batch, right? Just batch it. Make it easier on yourself, because this way you know you can sit down at a time when you're going to have great lighting. You can clear off a space and make sure you're ready for it instead of having to do that every single time. And I know sometimes my decluttering sessions are at night. Well, now my photo, if I were to take a photo right then, it's not going to be great because I'm going to have a flash or the lighting's going to be terrible. I've got a bunch of other stuff that I'm decluttering around me, right? So it's not the picture that would preserve that memory. So I love just putting these things off into a box, setting them off to the side, and then doing it all at once. So then you take the picture, write the notes, and then let them go. It's actually a really lovely little ritual once you get into it. And it doesn't have to be heavy. It can be something that you actually look forward to. Once you've done it a couple times, it gets easier. So I highly recommend you try it. Now, if this idea of the photo bridge is something that you love, but the thought of organizing thousands of photos on your phone or your computer makes you want to crawl back into bed, I totally hear you. I built a whole system for that, and it's called the Photo Freedom Formula. And it walks you through digitizing your memories, organizing them, and actually being able to find them again when you want to go back and look at them. Because what is the point of taking all these photos if they just disappear into your camera roll, right? Or your camera roll gets filled up and you can't take any new photos, and you're terrified about deleting old photos because they're not organized in a way where you can get back at them, okay? So if you want it, head over to my Instagram. My handle is @wannabeclutterfree, all one word, and comment the word photos on my latest post and I'll send you the link. Or just check the show notes. Of course, I'll have a link there. Either way, no pressure. What I taught you today totally works and you can absolutely go do this. But if you just feel overwhelmed with your photos, this is a great place to start. So check it out if you need it. Okay, so now you have a system for the everyday stuff from the last episode we recorded. And today you have a method for the sentimental stuff that stops everyone in their tracks. You are moving, you are making progress, and I am so proud of you for that. But here is the thing to warn you about, because I would not be doing my job if I didn't tell you this is coming. Somewhere around day 7, maybe day 10, honestly, some of you it's going to hit earlier, something is going to happen. You're going to wake up, you're going to look around your house, and you're going to feel like you didn't make progress at all. Even though you have, and even though the work you have done is amazing and incredible, and your house is actually getting decluttered, bags have gone out the door, you're doing the work, your brain is going to play a trick on you. And I don't say that to scare you, I know, but I want you to be aware. It's going to recalibrate, and suddenly your whole house is gonna feel cluttered again. You're going to be like, what the heck? I'm doing all this stuff and it still feels cluttered. What is going on? And if you don't know that's coming, it's going to stop you in your tracks. Trust me, I have been there. How many of you have been there? You're doing great. You're on a roll. And then one morning it just feels like, ugh, nothing's happened, or it's just not happening fast enough and you want to give up. This is called the motivation cliff, and almost everyone is going to hit it. So in the next episode, I'm going to explain exactly what's happening in your brain, why that's happening, and I'm going to give you a workaround so that you don't quit, So please go listen to that one now if it hasn't come out yet. Subscribe so you don't miss it. All right, I'll see you there.